During my first year of seminary formation in Denver, they sent me on a one-month poverty immersion. They didn't tell me where I was going. They gave me a bus ticket, one other seminarian. We had a backpack with some clothes, no phone, no money. And my classmate and I were sent to San Francisco to work with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters. And there we served men who were dying of AIDS at their hospice. As incredible as that experience was, there is one person there who affected me the most. His name was Richard. When Richard came into the hospice, he could barely speak. He was paralyzed from the chest down. He was unbaptized. He didn't want to be prayed with. He didn't want to be spoken to. He was very agitated. He was on morphine 3 times a day. He was dying. And I remember asking one of the sisters who was a nurse, I said, what does Richard have? And she said, oh, Brother Stephen, at this point, it's what does Richard not have? And so my classmate and I, we would be in there with him multiple times a day, rolling him in bed, washing him, changing him, giving him medicine. And I suppose because he couldn't stop us, we prayed with him as well. He never participated, but we would just pray by his bedside. Until one day, I walked in the morning, and Michael had this look of wonder, fear, astonishment on his face. He was afraid something had happened. And so Richard looked at me and he said, who is that man in that image on the wall? It was an image of divine mercy. I said, yeah, Richard, that's Jesus. And Richard, through teary eyes, looked at me and said, that man came to me last night and stood by my bed. And from that day on, Richard's life changed. All of a sudden, Richard became full of joy, sharing with us his life story, all the struggles, the ugliness, the brokenness, what he desired. He began to desire baptism. He wanted to join the church. He began to ease himself off morphine so that he could think more clearly. And sadly, we had to leave about 3 days later, so we didn't get to see the end of the story. But Richard was improving leaps and bounds. A few months later, when I returned to the seminary, one of the sisters wrote me. She said, Richard was in fact baptized. He was entered into the church, received all the sacraments. He regained all of his feeling. He was in recovery, doing therapy to walk again, and he was able to move into an assisted living where he could have much more dignity and share his story with others. Now, I know that we're not all going to have an experience of Jesus like Richard did. But my point today is, and what Richard experienced at his bedside that night, is that Jesus is real. He is as real as he was when he appeared to his disciples 2,000 years ago and said, here, go ahead, touch my hands. Right? You still don't believe. Give me some fish and I'll eat it in front of you. Jesus is absolutely real. So the question for us is, well, why don't I experience that then? How is Jesus real to me? And the answer that I want to offer for you today is that the way that Jesus makes himself concrete, tangible, the way in which we experience his resurrected humanity is through his church, and particularly through his seven sacraments. That's why Jesus gives us the sacraments, everyone, so that we can have real, personal, human encounters with him. And they're just as real as him appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. Just think about it for a second. When you go to a baptism, there's going to be a baptism after the 11:30 Mass. When the priest or deacon says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," we don't have the power to send the Holy Spirit on a child. That's Jesus who is baptizing that child through us. When we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, I don't have the power to forgive your sins. But Jesus does when he says, "I absolve you from your sins." The Eucharist, right? The most obvious. It is Jesus. He's the one who offers it, right? He's the one who is sacrificed, and he's the one who gives himself to us. The sacrament of confirmation, right? The bishop puts oil on your head. It says, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." Bishop Kagan can't give the Holy Spirit, but Jesus can through him. What's really amazing is, all you married people, when you got married, it was Jesus who witnessed your wedding vows. It wasn't just the church or the priest. It was Jesus who heard you say, "I do." And that's why we hold it up so highly, because you encountered Jesus at your wedding. Holy orders, right? When I was ordained a priest, that's Jesus who lays his hands on me and says, "Why don't you help serve my people? Because I can't do it on my own." And the one that I like most, the sacrament of anointing of the sick. If you've never seen it before, you should. Because I think it's when Jesus reveals himself to people in the most profound ways. Why? Because they're sick and they're suffering. There's no more facade. Don't have to hide anymore. Jesus, come save me. And guess what he does? He shows up through a priest, lays hands on them, and heals them. And he promises to save us. And so today, whether you had an experience or you've had an experience like Richard or not, whether Jesus has appeared to you in some profound way before your eyes or not, you can be certain and we can have faith that Jesus is real and that he does come to us, especially through the sacraments. And so today, what should we pray for? We should pray for a greater desire to celebrate the sacraments, because that's where we meet Jesus. And so today, that's the prayer we make. Jesus, increase my desire to meet you in your sacraments.